All right, turn, if you will, back to Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. We just read the verses 35 through verse 1 of chapter 5. Our text will be primarily verse 35. I think there is more than sufficient in the words of our Lord Jesus Christ to occupy our time this morning. Indeed, if God will bless it to our hearts, it's enough to occupy what time we have left while we draw this fleeting breath. The comfort of knowing that we're in His hands. Passing over. That's the title of my message. And that's what believers yet in this world are doing. Now, I preach from this passage 4 or 5 years ago. And there are some who were present then that aren't now. They've already passed over. Their battle is over. Their journey has ended. And if we believe God's word, and believers do, they are now beholding the King in His beauty. Man, they wouldn't want to come back. They've passed over. But we who are yet in this world are passing over right now. Now we're walking through that valley of the shadow of death. We began this journey by God's grace when He granted us faith in His Son. When He does it all. If it's done, God does it. And that precious gift of faith whereby a sinner beholds the Lamb of God, that's when we began this journey. And now, at this very moment, is our salvation nearer than it was when we first believed. We're passing over to the other side. And it's true. We haven't arrived yet. As Paul said, as long as we're at home in this body, we're absent from the Lord. But not for much longer, John. Not for much longer. We received a message from Joyce Hardman that many of you know just this morning to tell us that Ruby Elmore was called home. She's a member and has been for many, many years in the church in Crossville, Tennessee that Brother Donnie Bell pastors, as is Joyce. But she sent us a text letting us know that Ruby, who had been sick for a good while, she was at least 90, perhaps in her early 90s, but now she's in glory. She's in glory. I'm happy for her. I'm happy for her. I saw her for her family, her son, her daughters, but oh, I'm so happy for Ruby. Storms teach us, don't they? They teach us lessons that we just can't learn otherwise. Lessons you learn in the storm, you don't soon forget. There are so many good and profitable things that God accomplishes in His people and for His people when He allows them to pass through a storm, when He sends the storm their way. We learn some valuable lessons, as the disciples did. They learned what they should have known, but it was confirmed or reaffirmed in them, this blessed truth, by personal experience. What they went through wasn't by proxy. Oh no, they weren't standing on the shore watching Christ go through it. They were in the ship with Him. So this was their personal experience. They would never forget this. I wonder how often in years after this, perhaps when Peter was in jail or facing execution, or before James, John's brother, was beheaded while John was cast on the Isle of Patmos, I wonder how often their minds went back to this event. He brought us through that storm. He spoke peace on that troubled sea that night. I remember I thought, my soul, What manner of man is this? Now, if he did that, if he's brought me safe thus far, he's not going to let me go now. Oh, what valuable lessons we learn in the storm. And they learned this. Jesus Christ is trustworthy. Jesus Christ is trustworthy. As often been said, we don't always trust him like we should, just as they didn't. But that doesn't change the fact of his being trustworthy. And that's a lesson worth learning. That will bring you a great calm while you're on a troubled sea. When the world is tossing me like a ship up on the sea, and it does, it absolutely does. Every one of you have had such experiences as that, and we'll continue to have them until we reach the other side. And there's no question about it. We're going to reach the other side. But we learn by personal experience that when the world tosses us like a ship upon the sea, that's true. But this is also true. Thou who rulest wind and water, God in flesh, my elder brother, my great God and Savior, he stands by me. Now, if that's true, and it is, then it is well. It is well. It must be well. How could it not be well with my soul? Storms teach us what we are too. Oh, they remind us and teach us of our great Savior and his care and his providence, and he does all things well. But the storms also teach us what we are, what we're made of, and it ain't much. It's not much. Weak, without strength. Noticed in the reading, the disciples had faith enough to go to Christ in this storm and wake him up and say, Master, Master. They had faith enough to do that, but they don't seem to have faith enough to believe that Christ would not let them perish. He wouldn't allow that. And now we know, as the psalmist said, he's exalted on high, a prince and a savior, and he that keepeth Israel never slumbers nor never sleeps. I wonder, as we slept through the night, each of us last night, how much went on outside that we were completely unaware of? How much possible danger was just at our doorstep? How much crime was committed? How much evil went on? But we just slept right through. We weren't aware of it. You know why? You know why the comfort lies in this? Because Jesus Christ never slumbers. He never sleeps. He's watching over his own always. Oh, they teach us to trust him more and more. Christ would not let them perish. Oh, these words, this question that they put before the Master after they woke him up. Master, Master, I believe it's Matthew account gives it. They spoke twice. Carest thou not? Carest thou not that we perish? My soul, how dishonoring such a thought was of the trustworthy Savior. How dishonoring a thought to entertain, much less to speak it. And how insulting to ask such a question. And I'll tell you what, I've done it many a time. I'm guilty of the very same thing, to entertain the very same thoughts that the disciples did, to have the same doubts without a reason. The same groundless fears. To think so little and so dishonor my Redeemer. To think that after all the mercy passed that he would let me sink at last. Oh, God forgive me. God forgive me, and he does. As we're told in Scripture, though we deny him, and we do so by actions and little faith and so forth, yet he, that is Christ, abideth faithful. I like that. He abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. And to deny one of his own, to forsake one of his own, would be to do that very thing. It would be to deny himself. And that he cannot do. He will never do. I'm reading a couple of verses from Psalm 73. The 73rd Psalm. The writer concludes the way he behaved during a temptation, the way he envied lost people, godless people. He envied them. My. After God brought him back to his senses, he says in verse 22, "So foolish was I, and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee." A beast. I didn't behave no better than a stupid beast. But look what it says in verse 23. Oh, I love this word. I love this truth. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. He can't deny himself. Nevertheless, thou hast holding me by my right hand. Nevertheless, not because of myself, but in spite of myself. Nevertheless, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward, receive me in glory. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. God Almighty is always with his mercy and grace. It's always, always multiplied mercy and multiplied grace. Bobby has sang this song to us on occasion. He giveth more grace. That's what Peter said in both his epistles, didn't he? May the multiplied grace and mercy of God be with you. He giveth more grace. When? The burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength as the labors increase. To added afflictions, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, and that doesn't take long, when our strength has failed before the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. How you like that? I like the chorus. His love has no limits. His grace has no measure. His power no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and he giveth and he giveth again. And this sinner is living proof of that. This sinner can say amen to that. That's exactly so. The same storm that revealed their weakness revealed to them the power of Jesus Christ and his faithfulness. Look at verse 39. And he arose. He arose. Oh, can you picture that? He arose. Robed in flesh, true. Made like unto his brethren, true. Oh, but he arose as the mighty God that he is. He arose with healing in his wings. He arose the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the mighty God. He arose. He always does. He'll arise. And he rebuked the wind. And said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." The language used here is like a master speaking to their servant. That's enough. That's enough. Quiet now, quiet. Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Psalm 89 and verse 9. Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. No wonder they said, "What kind of man is this?" What manner of man is this? Psalm 93 verse 4. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters. Yes, than the mighty waves of the sea. I ran across this hymn that I hadn't known of before. It was written by a man named Samuel Medley. It was written in 1775. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that my Redeemer lives. What comfort this sweet sentence gives. He lives who once was dead. He lives, my ever living head. He lives to silence all my fears. He lives to wipe away my tears. He lives to calm my troubled heart. He lives all blessings to impart. He lives, my kind, wise, heavenly friend. He lives and loves me to the end. He lives, and while he lives, I'll sing. He lives, my prophet, priest, and king. He lives, all glory to his name. He lives, my Jesus, still the same. Oh, the sweet joy this sentence gives. I know that my Redeemer lives. Oh, that is a comfort, is it not? Let's consider not so much what happened on the sea, but the blessed truth that they crossed over to the sea. That's enough, as we said in the beginning. They passed over. Look again at verse 35. The words of our Lord. Let us pass over into the other side. And regardless of what happens after that, we read in verse 1 of the next chapter, and they came over into the other side. Oh, it's easy to pitch tent there, is it not? Let us pass over, Christ said. And they passed over. Verse 35 actually begins this way. And when the same day, and the same day rather, when the evening was come. When the evening was come. I read that and I thought, the day was drawing to a close. And I remembered certain scriptures that compare our life to a day. Just a day. Psalm 90, for example. Verse 5. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning, they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning, it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening, the same day, it's cut down and withereth. All in the span of a day. That's how our life is. Most of us here now, most of us here this morning with maybe one or two exceptions, are in the evening of our day. We are. We have arrived at that time. Oh, in the morning, oh, we had the dew of our youth. Remember? Can you remember back? 16, 17. Man, I didn't think I'd ever get old. Never thought. Thought I'd be young forever. I called my grandson the other day. It was his birthday. He's 21 years old. And I said, Billy, you can't appreciate what I'm going to say to you now. You just can't. It's not possible. I don't expect you to. But I said, God willing, you're going to be amazed, if he allows you to live, how fast you'll be where your grandfather is right now. Now, he can't appreciate that. But I tell Robin sometimes, honey, you've got perfect hindsight. I've just never seen nobody like that. But now, I stand here, and with hindsight, I can look back and say, my soul, where has the time gone? Where has it gone? Oh, yes. It just seems like yesterday I had the dew of youth. But now, the evening has come. The evening has come. I mean, the evening of my life, the twilight of life. And as I said, most each of us are there. Also now from Psalm 90, verse 12, in light of that, we sang it just a moment ago. while I draw this fleeting breath, when mine eyes shall close in death, O Rock of Ages, clap for me. When I soar the worlds unknown and I behold thee on thy throne, O Rock of Ages, captain of my salvation, let me hide myself in thee. In light of that brevity of life, in light of this vapor of our existence, the psalmist said, so teach us to number our days. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Notice first the speaker. The speaker. Child of God, it's he who spoke as never a man yet spoke. He says unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. When we read, Jesus said, whatever he says must follow. It must be realized. Now, that's not the case with anyone else. Oh, but he who speaks is that one who controls all things. He who speaks is that one who sets up on the throne of everlasting dominion. It's he who controls and rules everything, who has his way in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. He who speaks, none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? So when he says, let us pass over unto the other side, we shouldn't be surprised to read, they passed over unto the other side. I saw on the news the other evening, or on the internet, a news clip, that nut down there in Virginia Beach, Virginia, Pat Robertson, he's the one founded that, what is it, CNN or some CBN something, Christian, so to speak, network. And he rebuked Hurricane Florence. How about that? How about that? Yeah, Terry, he rebuked it. He said, I rebuke Hurricane Florence. We demand that you not come ashore. Well, we see how that worked out. It didn't hear him. Didn't hear him. The hurricane didn't listen to him. He's not the creator. Oh, but Jesus Christ is. Everything was made by him and for him. And without him was not anything made that was made. He's that creator. And the creation's voice must hear him. Must hear him. Oh, when we hear him say to each child of God, as we journey through this world to the heavenly portal of everlasting glory, when he says, let us pass over into the other side, oh, child of God, be comforted. It's bound to happen. Yes, storms will arise, but he's the master of the sea. Billows, his will obey. Jesus is the star of the sea, and though there might be sorrow on the sea, Jesus is there as well. And that gives us joy in tribulation. May our hearts make Jesus their anchor, their rudder, their lighthouse, their lifeboat, and their harbor. May he be to us all in all. He's the master. When Christ speaks, creation hears the voice of their creator. It was the same voice, the same will, the same power that created it in the beginning. In the beginning, God, this is God in flesh, the same glorious person, God created the heavens and the earth. And John tells us that was Jesus Christ. The Word was made flesh, and that Word created all things, and without him was not anything created or made that was made. Which is greater? Now I know we live in a day of frog kissers and tree huggers and earth worshipers. Don't they have a day now? Earth Day or something? I like what John Chapman said up there in the conference a few weeks ago in Danville. He believed in global warming. God's going to burn it up. Going to burn it all up. No, the creation is evidence of its glorious creator. Which is greater? Their creation? Oh, men, as Paul tells us in Romans 1, are so blinded that they worship the creation rather than the creator. instead of being brought to the place where they look at the creation and say, oh, what great creator did this. Oh, how great thou art. When I see the skies, the stars, when I hear the rolling thunder, what does that evidence? What does that display? The power of the great creator behind it. Listen to what the prophet said. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. And as we have evidenced in our text, in this passage in Mark 4, the Lord had his way in the whirlwind and the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. When he commanded the stormy sea to stop its roaring and the winds to cease, look what happened. Again, verse 39. Peace be still, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Just like that. Just like that. My soul, what a Savior. Wouldn't that have been something to see? Matthew, in Matthew 8, his account, he introduces it this way. Behold, behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea. Behold this wonder. Behold this power. But behold he who is greater. He speaks and there's a great calm. But child of God, I know of a greater miracle, don't you? A greater calm that he produced. We read of it in the very next chapter. Chapter 5. The storm that raged in the heart of this poor lunatic. Look at verse 2 of chapter 5. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, always, day and night, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. What a hopeless, hopeless case. What a sad, sad spectacle. But he who is mighty to save speaks. He just speaks. Just like he did to that stormy sea, he speaks in verse 8 and says, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And look what happened. Look at the great calm that came over this raving lunatic that Christ himself produced with just a word of his power, the expression of his will. Verse 15 of Mark 5. But when they came to Jesus and saw him that was possessed, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He was possessed with the devil and had the legion setting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. My soul, what a calm, what a difference. I know this man. Do you, John? I know this lunatic. I can identify with him. He reminds me of something. It's like looking in a mirror. I see my own reflection in this man. I was once like him, insane with my pursuit of sin. And nobody could tame me. I dared them to do it. My father's threatening didn't do it. My mother's tears didn't do it. I just was hell-bent to have my way. Most people that knew me in those days, and please don't misunderstand me, I don't glory in this at all, but they expected that I would end my life pretty soon with an overdose. They'd find me like they found friends of mine that I used to run with that died that way. Just a lunatic. But God, suddenly, I can't explain it. Couldn't explain it now. Can't really explain it or explain it then. Can't explain it much better now. But suddenly, I felt the billows, the waves of sorrow roll over my soul. I heard for the first time in my life the roar of God's law, saying, "The soul that sinneth, it must die." I heard the thunder of His justice. And it was like I awoke out of a deep sleep and I thought, man, I'm lost. I'm lost. The great shepherd had come to me. Imagine that. I'm lost and I can't save myself. Just like this poor demoniac, all I could do was hurt myself. And I couldn't take the first step. I was lost. I couldn't find Christ. I was lost. He found me. He came to me. And He saved me. Glory to His name. And He spoke these sweet words to my troubled heart. Peace. Peace. Be still. Be still. Thy sins are all forgiven thee. And there was a calm, a peace I never had before, that passeth understanding. The calm produced by having peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us, circle that word, us, pass over. I am with you always, Christ said, even unto the end of the world. I'll be brief here. Let me express the thought this way. One when He died, one when He arose, one when He triumphed over His foes, one when in heaven He took His seat and heaven sang all hell's defeat. Believers are one with Jesus Christ. Let us pass over. Child of God, I'm happy to repeat this. Jesus Christ would have to drown before those with Him would drown. They would have to, devil, whoever, would have to get to Christ before they get to Him or get to us. They would have to defeat Him before they can snatch us out of His hand and glory to His name. That can never happen. That can never happen. We are one with our Redeemer. Oh, blessed comforting thought. His righteousness is my righteousness too. That's exactly right. His acceptance before the holy Lord God, that He did all things to please and to fulfill the law and to bring in an everlasting righteousness and to put away sin. His acceptance by God Almighty is my acceptance too. My forerunner is already entered into heaven, now to appear in the presence of God for us. There's no separating Christ from His people. You can't separate the head from the body. You cannot separate the sheep from their shepherd, or the bride from their bridegroom. We are with our Savior one. So when He says, "Let us pass over," glory to His name, we'll pass over, all the way over. And His victory is our victory as well. His victory is our victory. Isaiah chapter 43. You know this verse very well. Verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, I have redeemed thee. Redemption means something. Those Christ redeemed don't go to hell. Those Christ redeemed will never perish. Those Christ redeemed are going to be with Him in glory. I've redeemed thee. I've called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Thou art mine. I am His and He is mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle up on thee. Child of God, this is no figment of our imagination. We have a real Savior. And He saves real sinners. And He gives them real grace. And He will keep each and every one of us, storm or no storm. We right now are passing over to the other side. And if we don't land in glory, you know who it will reflect on? The captain of our salvation. It will be His fault. We're His responsibility. And glory to His name, He will never allow that. He will never be so dishonored. No, they'll all be gathered around the throne. They'll all sing, "Worthy is the Lamb." I ran across this the other day. Brother Maurice Montgomery wrote it many years ago. He's with the Lord now. He's passed over. He said lately, this is when he was sickly, feeble. He said, "Lately I've noticed that my memory is not nearly as good as it used to be. I find it hard to recall sermons that I heard only a short while ago. And very difficult to remember people's names. And this leads me to wonder if there may come a time when, through the natural deterioration of sin, I'll become incapable of loving God, worshiping God, calling upon God, clinging to God, and confessing Him publicly. Will my hope of salvation in heaven be forfeited?" He said, "No, not at all. Because my salvation is of the Lord. He will never forget those whom He knows, those whom He chose, those for whom Christ died, those whom He calls and converts to Christ by His Spirit and grace. He will never leave me, nor forsake me." Again, the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 46, "Hearken unto me, God says, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb, and even to your old age. I was with you in the dawning of your day, I'll be with you in the evening of your day. To your old age I am He, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you." He was there at the first, and He'll be there at the last. He brought me into this world and gave His angels charge over me to keep those who shall be heirs of salvation, ministering spirits, guardian angels, if you will, until He called me by His grace. He was there when I entered this world. He brought me forth from my mother's womb. And Billy's going to be there when I go out. Oh, what a day that will be. He was there when I came in, and He'll be there in my old age. He'll be there to take my hand and lead me across Jordan, where I shall ever be with the Lord. "I am the first and I am the last," He said. "I'll be there for you. I was there in your infancy, and I'll be there in your old age. You change." Oh, how we change. Change and decay all around we see. God says, "You change, but I don't. I'm the same. I'm He that promised to be, and I will carry you. I will bear you. I will bear you up, and I will bear you out. And I will carry you on your way and carry you all the way home. All the way my Savior leads me." Last of all, let us pass over unto the other side. Unto the other side. Oh, the other side. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And Paul tells us, the trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall raise first, and we which are yet living shall be changed and be caught up together with them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. John chapter 16, Christ said, "In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer." Revelation chapter 7, "And I saw a multitude that no man could number, These are they which came out of great tribulation. John chapter 17. Our great high priest says, Father, I will also that those whom you have given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. And the last book says, they passed over. John says, I looked and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him. A number representing all of his elect, having his Father's name written in their foreheads, with him. Let us pass over into the other side. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Imagine that. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Christ will bring us over every stormy sea and every rolling billow. And when the last evening of our life is over, Christ takes us to be with him in the Father's house. And as the bulletin article says, I'm reading from it. Then, when he says, let us pass over, then when we enter glory, then every heartache is going to be over. Every tear is going to be over. Every pain of whatever sort is going to be over. All the former things will all be over. But beholding Jesus Christ, the one who loved me and gave himself for me, seeing him with an unsinning heart, that's never going to be over. It's never going to be over. When we enter that city that has no need of the sun, for the Lamb is the light thereof. I asked you last Sunday to remember my good buddy, dear, dear friend, one of my best friends, Brother David Coleman, to remember him in prayer. He now developed a staph infection. They won't put him in the hospital. He's in such a weakened condition already, they're afraid he'll catch something else. So his wife, Teresa's treating him at home. And when I saw him at the conference, spent a little time with him, as I told you last Sunday, he could only be there for one service. He looked at me and said, Larry, it's tough. It's been tough. He's so weak. Oh, such a voice. He had such a voice. Y'all heard him sing. He sang here. He joked about that when I was visiting with him. He said, man, Larry, that time I was down there, y'all about sung me to death. He said, I used every song I think I had. He may have sang this. I've heard him sing it. I don't remember whether he sang it here or not, but he's wayfaring stranger. I am a poor wayfaring stranger while traveling through this world below. There is no sickness, toil, no danger to that bright world to which I go. I know dark clouds will gather over me. I know my pathway is rough and steep. But golden fields lie out before me, where weary eyes no more shall weep. Let us pass over. I'm going there to see my Savior, who shed for me his precious blood. I'm just a going over Jordan. I'm just a going over home. What a blessed, blessed hope. God bless you. Thank you for your attention.